There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thank you. Awesome. I mean, the presentation right after lunch is always super difficult. So I was toying with the idea of bringing like a big bag of chocolate chip cookies and putting it up front, and I really wish I had followed through on that at this point. But thank you all for joining us. This is fantastic to have you in the room. As Amanda mentioned, my name is Chris Cable. I'm currently a senior program officer at the Kresge Foundation. However, the work that I'm to present is occurred while I was a senior program officer at the Northwest Health Foundation, which is a little bit smaller than Kresge. About 1/20th the size, but a regional grant maker based in Portland, Oregon. Northwest Health Foundation was a grantee both of the Convergence Innovation Fund as well as a regional Convergence Partnership grant. And the work that we're going to describe today involves our regional work together. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So some quick context. Amanda already gave the overall national context for the Convergence Partnership, so I don't really have to repeat that. And when the National Convergence Partnership posted its RFP around regional convergence back in 2011, it actually came at a very opportune time for us in Pacific Northwest. There were some funders, particularly Northwest Health Foundation, Meyer Memorial Trust, and Kaiser Permanente, that at the time it all made substantial investments in food systems or access to healthy food, but really had not coordinated or collaborated in any meaningful way. And so when this RFP was released, we got together and we said, you know what, given all our investment, not only of money, but of time and energy, maybe it would make some make sense to use this as an opportunity to do something more effective and meaningful. So that's what we did. We got together, we drew up our proposal to the national partnership, and lo and behold, we were funded, which was both very exciting, and then we're like, oh boy, we have to do the work now. This is going to be tough. So Meyer Memorial Trust, just to give you an overview of how each of the core funders came to the table, Meyer Memorial Trust had just recently awarded $1.4 million to 10 coalitions and organizations around the state of Oregon through their community food systems program. Now, Meyer had a very explicit economic development and sustainability lens to what they were doing. And quite frankly, when you read their RFP, the words health and equity were not in there at all. It was really, this is the depth of the recession. It was a way to try to revive, especially rural economies, and also to advance their environmental sustainability goals. Kaiser Permanente Northwest had just recently awarded $1.2 million through their Healthy Food Access Initiative. As you could probably guess through the title of the initiative, they were really more focused on the retail end of the food system spectrum. They also did have some work in there around, say, food that's provided at child care centers. And their grantees were really concentrated on the I-5 corridor, so the urban corridor between like Vancouver, Washington, and Salem, Oregon. As for Northwest Health Foundation, we had awarded about a little bit more than $1 million to organizations working at different parts of the food system, but those grants were not coordinated in any way. They were awarded through at least three different programs that we had. They didn't really share any common sense of objectives or a common logic model. And so when we sat down and said, okay, where are the areas of intersection where we can actually use this matching funding from the national partnership and really try to achieve a shared vision, that's what this opportunity really stimulated us to do. So like all good philanthropic partnerships, we developed a logic model, which I'm not going to go into. Unfortunately, it's nowhere near as intricate as yours. I want yours at some point. But we wanted to collaborate more intentionally at the intersections of our food systems investments. Wanted to build a more cohesive and effective food movement and accelerate policy and systemic changes that will lead to a healthier, more equitable, sustainable, and economically vibrant food system. So, and we were, as a collaboration, we were very disciplined all the time about hitting those four pillars. Health, equity, sustainability, economic vitality, because that's what held us together, and that's what allowed us to engage new partners as well. So we were building on a lot of strengths, not only our own existing philanthropic commitments, but also the fact that, at least in the Pacific Northwest, there's already a growing community momentum around food. Oh, being aware of where your food was grown, how it was grown, how it got to your grocery store, how it got to your table. And while that was really encouraging, we realized that there were some important voices that were not at that table. And so when we reviewed our existing portfolios, looked at who was included, who was not included, typically, quite frankly, it was a bunch of very well-meaning, sporadically effective middle-class advocates. People look like me, frankly. So, and we realized, that it's not really, we're missing the boat. We're missing a big, important part of the movement if that's all we are. So at the time, shortly after we were funded, Kaiser Permanente convened their Healthy Food Access grantees. Meyer Memorial Trust convened their community food systems grantees. And we asked the same question of everybody in the room. Who's not here? Who needs to be here? And so we really identified three core constituencies. Number one, farm workers and the others who work in other parts of the food system. If we're really committed to equity in a food system movement, conditions of farm workers from health standpoint, a health safety standpoint, just a human dignity standpoint, those voices need to be part of the discussion. Tribes. So there are 9 federally recognized tribes in the state of Oregon. There's also a very large urban Native American population in Portland. Tribal land offers a lot of economic development opportunities for expansion of food production. In addition, diet-related health disparities are particularly prominent in Native American communities. Then finally, small to mid-sized producers, so farmers, ranchers, fishermen. You can't just build a healthier food system on the back of nonprofit advocates. You need the people who are actually producing the food in the room, if nothing else, to give a reality check. So we were interested in building a more inclusive movement. So we had $225,000 available to give away in grants, which doesn't really justify an open RFP. So what we did is we invited proposals from organizations that represented our priority audiences. So the first was the Willamette Valley Law Project, which is the 501c3 arm of the largest farm workers union in the state. A collaboration of 3 tribes that had already been working together with some CDC-funded nutrition programming, so they had an existing record of collaboration. And then Friends of Family Farmers, which represented small to mid-size farmers and ranchers. We also realized we needed to do more than just provide funding to new groups. We needed to get everybody in the same room at the same time to learn from each other and identify new priorities and opportunities for collaboration. So on that note, we organized a convening in November 2012 in Salem, Oregon, which is the state capital. And that included not just grantees, but a whole host of people. It included farmers, it included ranchers, it included aggregators and wholesalers. It included elected officials. The Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek, was the keynote speaker. She answered a lot of questions about how you can build a more effective advocacy campaign in the legislature. Included retailers, included other funders. And it was really, terrific to see that kind of energy and interest in the room. So we had some overarching goals for this convening. One, we wanted to identify the policy priorities that would allow us to achieve our shared vision of the food system. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but hit those 4 pillars, equity, health, sustainability, economic vitality. Identify new opportunities for collaboration, both within and across our grantee cohorts. And then increase knowledge and understanding of food systems, both from a health standpoint, from a sustainability standpoint, from an economic development standpoint. Here are a few quotes that came through in the post-event, the post-convening evaluation. When we surveyed folks, overwhelming majority said they met new people that they felt they could work with in the future, that there were new faces at the table that they had never seen in food systems in the past that provided a sense of clarity about how to move forward. And so that was very encouraging. Now, we asked folks by the end of the day, said, okay, what are the top policy priorities that are actually going to allow us to move forward? And there are 21 that were developed, and you know, did that very high-tech dot placement voting system. And the top five were identified. Anyone want to take a guess about what the top? You don't get to guess. You know the answer. The top food system policy priority that might have emerged from this discussion? No. Okay. It was restoring access to driver's licenses for undocumented workers. Now, that surprised a lot of folks in the room, and in retrospect, it probably shouldn't have, because if you have no farm workers, you have no food. But in 2009, the Oregon legislature had rescinded the right to get a driver's license for undocumented workers. You might remember there was a big tide of anti-immigrant sentiment at that time. And obviously, you know, if you don't have a driver's license, you take great personal risk driving anywhere, including to your job or driving your kids to school or getting to healthcare appointments. And that was it identifies a top policy priority. Another one was to convince the state government to use factors other than price when they're determining their food purchasing. So, you know, state governments purchase a lot of food, and they actually carry a tremendous amount of influence in the market about how that, you know, what sort of behaviors get incented. Expanding local facilities for processing. This is something, again, this came out of the for-profit partners who are in the room, the farmers and the ranchers and the wholesalers. As food systems have become more concentrated, that sort of ag in the middle has been hollowed out. And especially for newer farmers, for smaller farmers, having those sort of aggregation places where you can actually get some economies of scale, get your food to market, is incredibly important. It's something that probably wouldn't have arisen to the top if you know, we hadn't had producers in the room. Pardon me, Amanda, can you get me a glass of water? Thank you. Sorry. incorporating land food into local land use policies. Thank you so much. This is not groundbreaking. This has been going on for a while in Oregon. There's certainly a lot of momentum on it. I know, you know, Jonathan and his team do a lot of work on this in terms of local planning policies as well. And finally, convincing OSU Extension to actually pay more attention to small to mid-sized producers. Pardon me, I'm sorry. So this convening happened, we organized it just 2 months before the start of the Oregon legislature in 2013. I want to be careful before I list the legislative outcomes not to claim any attribution for these. Okay, a lot of the work that I'm about to celebrate here had gotten underway well before we got involved. You know, it represents, and sometimes years of advocacy and coalition building. I just hope that we had some meaningful contribution to the outcomes. First of all, thank you. The Senate did restore access to driver's licenses for undocumented workers. Huge victory. What you see there, that's our Governor John Kitzhaber signing into law in May of this year. It's a driver's card rather than driver's license, which is legally different but functionally the same. Oregon established Aggie bonds, which provide state-backed financing that make private investment more attractive. This next bill was a priority of Friends and Family Farmers, which created a land use exemption for small-scale poultry producers. There's one that did not pass, which was on establishing some minimum nutrition standards for food sold in state buildings, which I know is only a small sliver of the overall food system, but one that some of our partners were active on. And then finally, substantial increase in farm-to-school funding. Went from $200,000 to $1.2 million. And those grants are now being distributed to school districts around the state. So in speaking with my colleagues at Meyer Memorial Trust and KP, we identified some real benefits of the collaboration. As David mentioned earlier, it's not easy. It doesn't come naturally. But we really did broaden our perspectives on food work. Speaking personally, I never really thought of food systems through an economic development lens before. You know, I was really concentrated on health and equity. But the perspective of putting that new lens on it really allows us to talk to new partners in new ways. We definitely learned from each other and from our grantees. We did foster a sense of shared learning and cooperation. You know, David mentioned earlier the necessity around building a trust and collaboration. We definitely did that. I apologize for coughing. Then we set the table for future work. Quite frankly, there were a number of challenges as well. Thank you. The first is just the nature of food systems itself. They're so huge. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Understanding where we as private philanthropy can identify the areas that are most ripe for leverage and change can be super challenging, especially when you're trying to engage new funders, perhaps who are more accustomed to funding direct services or something that can be easily counted. This is very big, long-term work. The work that we did together often felt like an add-on rather than a core part of what we did. This, despite the fact that we were all really personally committed to the work, but it wasn't necessarily carved out as a core part of our FTE. Amanda mentioned earlier this collective impact model has been getting a lot of press. FSG, the consulting firm, developed. We never really achieved collective impact model, which requires five core components. At best, we had two out of five. But one of them is a backbone organization that is really responsible for driving the work, measuring results, coordinating partners, et cetera. What we learned is that there's no backbone, there's no one organization with such broad credibility on all food system issues in Oregon that could step into that role. You know, there are some organizations that had credibility with some constituencies, but not others, and so we couldn't find a backbone organization. Finally, I mentioned the sort of food systems being so large, it's difficult to sort of generate a sense of urgency that this is something new funders need to jump into right now. And then challenges around evaluating any changes in the food system that might be generated because of our work. So what does this mean for the future? Well, this grant is intended to run through the end of this year. On October 7th, we convened other regional funders to try to interest them in the work. One of the goals in our original proposal was try to get at least two new funders to join us. I had some preliminary interest, but it's too early to say exactly, how many might kind of join this movement. Kaiser Permanente is going to remain supportive of food systems work. They're planning in about a year to issue a new RFP around healthy food access. Meyer Memorial Trust, they'll continue to fund food work through their responsive grant making, but their trustees decided not to make community food systems a formal initiative, which would carry some long-term, multi-million-dollar funding commitment. Finally, Northwest Health Foundation is currently going through a strategic overhaul. I left while that overhaul was still in progress. I frankly don't know where they will land. I hope that food is still part of what they do, but I no longer have any control over that. So key lessons learned. Again, effective multi-funder collaboration requires not just the sincere intent, which we had in bushels, but dedicated staff support. You know, we did have a very talented evaluator and facilitator on contract, but it was such a small contract, you couldn't really, play that role to the full extent we wanted. The food work, the good news, it offers really broad appeal to engage people, as well as challenges to know where the most effective parts to engage are. Nonprofit, for-profit, public, philanthropic sectors all have very important roles to play. And then the movement, at least in the Pacific Northwest, would really benefit from a much stronger articulation of clear, commonly held goals and the roles that each partner is going to play in achieving those goals. So thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer questions after the panel. And again, I apologize for coughing so much. I'll try to calm that down.